Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Garden Life, our once-a-month feature of KRFY's morning show. And my name is Julie Prochinski, and I'm here with Julie Calamine, my favorite co-host.
Oh, I think I'm your only co-host. Hi, Julie Prochinski.
Good to see you, Julie. Thanks too for coming in.
Yeah, good to see you.
A quick hello to our guests today. In the studio are Aaron Johnson and Nancy Hastings. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, well, we're about to have a great interview about all things wintertime in garden life, but before that, I'll give us a quick weather forecast, which is the reason why we're talking about indoor things, I think,
yes,
Julie.
Yes, I think so, Julie.
It's not looking that great, really. Today, you can expect a high of 37 and mostly cloudy, but I see a few little blue spots when I came in today. I think I can hope and keep my fingers crossed for one moment of sun today. Then tonight, it's getting chillier, low of 29, mostly cloudy, and tomorrow is really going to be the nicest day in the week, at least according to me. High Thursday of 40, mostly sunny, which hasn't happened lately, and then some fog, patchy freezing fog, etc. on Thursday night, Friday, slight chance of rain, patchy freezing fog, etc. It just goes on and on. So plan for more gloomy weather, but let's try and get out and enjoy today and tomorrow if we can.
Sounds good, and no precip in that. In that forecast either.
Well, 20% on Friday.
Okay,
90%
skiers.
Friday night.
Snow dance time.
80% Saturday. I just kind of assume we all know that precipitation is in our forecast right now. But yes, it is. Rain here and hopefully snow up on Schweitzer.
All right, so let's go on to our show. It's titled, as Julie mentioned, Green Gift Ideas for the Holidays. And following yesterday's program with Dr. Joanne, she talked about safe gifts for children, and I thought this was a perfect segue to our show today. So remember, you can hear all our shows on krfy.org podcast page to replay. So now to our guests. Both are small business owners here in Sandpoint who know a little bit about giving green. So first, I'd like to introduce Nancy Hastings, owner of All Seasons Garden and Floral. And Nancy, please take a minute to introduce yourself and tell everyone what you're all about.
Thanks, Julie. Well, we moved to Sandpoint, like many others, in 96. And John was a teacher for at high school, and there was a building available out in Kootenay. And so in 97, we opened All Seasons Garden and Floral and just started building that up and started out as about an acre with the gift shop in the front and the nursery in the back and the garden center and landscapes. And then about 2000, I wanted to get more into floral and floral design, and so we did a little remodel and brought in a cooler and started to do a lot of floral arrangements and fresh floral, and so that's been fun. I enjoy that, especially on these gloomy days.
Yes,
it's wonderful to escape into the cooler and pick out, you know, bright, cheery things. So
beautiful bouquets with delivery.
Yes, we do also delivery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also in the studio is Aaron Johnson, owner of Verdant Plant Shop. And same question to you, Aaron. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about your trip to Verdant Plant Shop.
Happy to. Thank you for having me. My family, we moved here in 2017 from Colorado. My husband is a teacher, too, so that's a lovely connection that Nancy and I have. I started selling plants, house plants, at the farmer's market, and then last April, when the beautiful space upstairs in the Cedar Street Bridge, the newly revitalized and beautiful Cedar Street Bridge, when the lease came open, I thought, this has got to be a plant shop, and house plants have kind of been in my DNA. My mom always had plants, and when she passed away, I inherited her plants. She was the type of person, Nancy, I bet you can relate, she never threw away her prunings. She always would propagate. So we just had jars lining the windowsills full of plant starts. So Verdant Plant Shop, we've been open since the end of April, and we're just really excited to help people bring nature into their homes.
Well, that's fantastic. And it since it is December, we are coming in. Garden life is coming inside. So both of your shops have houseplants, and you can't get any greener than that. So why houseplants? Erin, you start with that one.
Well, houseplants, in addition to beautifying our spaces, they also clean our air. Some plants, like snake plants and peace lilies, are particularly good at stripping out things like volatile organic chemicals. But all plants recycle our carbon dioxide and make it a healthier place to live. In office settings, plants have been shown to increase productivity. It's a fun hobby, and there's a very low cost to entry. And, when you learn to propagate, you can have an abundance of plants, sometimes too many. I get lots of comments in the shop, like, I don't have room for a single more plant.
It's hard to stop.
It's a good addiction to have, though.
So, are there any disadvantages to plants?
Well, I would say similar to having pets. Sometimes it makes it a little challenging if you have a large collection or particularly labor-intensive plants. Maybe to go on vacation, you'd have to find someone to watch your plants or find someone to plant sit. There are some plants that are toxic to pets, to children. If you've got nibblers of the feline or canine kind or mm-hmm. the human kind, make sure that you check the ASPCA website. Has a really great resource for figuring out if your plants are toxic. And sometimes it can just be overwhelming if you've got too many. Mm-hmm. Once you get tip over that line where you have a lot of plants, it can just be pretty time consuming if you've got other stuff.
Right. Not fun anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Little shop of horrors.
Right. For sure. That would be a little shop of horrors. Nancy, you have house plants as well.
We do. Yes. It's always lovely to work with people and especially if they're new to house plants and their concern is, will I keep it alive? And I guess from my experience, most people over love them or overwater is probably more of a problem than underwatering. And the nice thing about, if you've run out of space, just start hanging them from the ceilings.
Right.
Time to go vertical.
Exactly. Right.
Just like you do in the garden when you limit down and plant underneath, you go vertical.
We're talking about, all the proliferation of houseplants that we can have and that they can keep coming. But are there some that we assume just live forever? And then are there other ones that have definite lifespans?
Well, most of them for houseplants will live quite a long time if they're well cared for. And we have some in our family that are great grandma's Christmas cactus they're huge and they're beautiful. So that's really fun because then you can take cuttings and propagate and give them a little bit to each grandchild and they can start their own traditions.
Yeah, I was definitely going to bring up Christmas cactus. I think they can live up to 100 years.
Wow.
if they're properly cared for. Handed down through the generations. Easy to propagate plants like angel wing begonias, also very, very long lives and easy to share.
I've been trying to get a coleus inside, and I'm having a heck of a time. Do you ever use houseplants or coleuses as houseplants?
Yeah. I've even started them from seed, which is a fun little experiment. They're pretty fast growing.
Okay.
And sometimes when you're bringing them in from your summer mm-hmm. designs outside pots, if they're looking kind of little weak, just sometimes cutting them and putting them in water is a little more successful.
Sure. I had a girlfriend last year who saved a big stalk of basil in a vase all winter. It rooted and then she just took off the basil for the whole winter. That was super fun.
Let's get back to watering and fertilizing for just a moment. Nancy, I heard you say that it's easy to overwater. Is that also true when it comes to fertilizing?
Well, yes, because you have that limited space in your indoor pots, you know, there's less flushing out than in your lawn or outside. So I tend to do every other week, unless it's really in a crucial bloom time for orchids and African violets, things like that, that are pushing on their blooms. Then I'll do a bloom food for every week.
Every week. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you all have some favorite indoor plants for folks that might be getting started that they can really expect a lot of bloom for the buck, like really fun flowering indoor plants or just luscious green ones? Any favorites, you two?
Yeah, I think a pothos is such an underrated plant, and talk about a workhorse. And they're quick growing, and they come in a huge variety of colors and variegations. I had a golden pothos from my mother that grew probably 30 feet long, and I just kept trimming it back. I would forget to water it occasionally, and it just hang in there. I think that's a great beginner plant.
All right. Nancy, do you have any?
Yeah, I do love some of the ones that you can use both for hanging or for, you know, a pot on the table. The Hoyas are just very long lived and they're
gorgeous.
Not
blooms.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. When you get them to bloom, yes. they're sort of a rare bloom creature. You never know. They don't have a consistent cycle like African violets and things like that, which are also beautiful. But it is a very easy, you know, succulent plant to
hard
use.
Hard to kill.
Yes. Yeah. And when it does bloom, they are spectacular. Yeah.
I have a friend who just has one leaf at the end of probably a 10-foot. And every year that one leaf puts a bloom out. It's crazy. Those those plants are wonderful. So let's go back to watering. How do you decide if it's dry? I mean, do you lift the pot? Do you put your finger in? What, you say overwatering is possible. What are you looking for if you're trying to keep your plants on a schedule?
Well, yes, and sometimes that does, if you do a schedule,
right,
it also can vary because now we have our heat turned up. Obviously, in our houses, the heaters are on. If you have wood heat, it's even more, a little more difficult for things like ferns and things. You might want to do some misting because wood heat will take the moisture out of your air.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of just sticking the finger in there. So that's why I don't have very well manicured fingers, nails.
Yeah. I think it's important to point out too that you should always be using pots that have drainage that would help that water flow out the bottom so that they're not just sitting in a wet puddle at the bottom of their pot, which can really lead to root rot. And for some larger plants where maybe you can't get your finger down there very far, I like to use a bamboo skewer, almost like a cake tester. So if you put that in there and it comes out bone dry, likely you should probably put some water in there.
I'm always surprised we have a greenhouse and we don't water hardly at all winter long. It just, things just stay wet forever. So really watering is a minor chore in the winter.
Yeah, and plants do sort of go a little dormant in the winter, and their needs change, and their needs are variable plant to plant too. So I think it's important to get to know your plant and know the variety of plant and kind of read up on it and figure out, is this does it need a lot of fertilizer? Does it need to be consistently moist? And or can I let it go dry like my ZZ plant? Right, I just let it go completely dry between waterings, or succulents. That's definitely try to hold back on the watering when it comes to the succulents.
And propagating, is it always in water? Do you always propagate in water?
No, especially with the succulents. Those you can usually do cuttings and put them in a soft soil, a seed starting soil, that's a little bit fluffier than your normal potting soil. But yeah, it's surprising, like you said, with basil and even coleus, which can overwater and rot, how they can just flourish in just straight cutting in a vase of water.
You cut the two bottom leaves off or four bottom when you yes. poke them? Okay.
You never want any of the leaves to be in the water.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's just remarkable how resilient plants are. Something like a jade plant, which is a succulent, it can just drop a leaf on the top of its soil, and you'll look over, and there's baby jades coming right up. And I think a lot of people propagate in water because it looks pretty sitting on the windowsill, and it's very easy to see then when it's time to move to soil because you can tell how long the roots are. You know, once you get a couple inches, 3 inches, then you could move it to soil. But there are some plants, like I mentioned, the angel wing begonia, you can just clip off a leaf and put that right in soil. And it's slower that way, but it'll go for it 9 times out of 10.
How often do you replant? That's another big question.
I think for me, there's more, there's many plants who like to have a cozy environment.
Oh, tight.
Tight, rooted. Yes. One of the few exceptions would be like staghorn ferns, but things like ficus, things like the ZZ plant, there's so many that really, even African violets and things, they kind of like to have a smaller pot.
Yes.
And so it's just a matter of, yeah, each individual variety.
Okay. It probably helps with the overwatering too. You aren't likely to have all that wet dirt around it.
Yeah, too much soil can lead to too much moisture before the plant can absorb it or evaporate it.
Do you ever like top dress with like worm casings like you would do outside, or is
you
that
can. Yes, yes.
To just kind of encourage? Would you wait until the spring when it's starting to grow, or would it help it now? Time of year.
It would be fine now.
Anytime.
Yeah.
If you've got a plant that's really struggling, if you can see roots coming out the bottom of your pot you know, sort of boiling over the top of your pot, that might be an indication that it's time to get a new pot. But sometimes just adding some, as you were saying, top dressing with soil can make a difference, especially those really large, you know, if you've got a large ficus and the thought of transplanting that thing is making you cry. Maybe it just needs a little soil freshening on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy, you correct me if I'm wrong about this, but a lot of houseplants, if you don't want to up pot, if you don't want to go up a size of a pot, you can safely trim off about a third of a plant's roots and put it right back in its old pot with new soil. And that keeps it about the size that you want it.
Yeah, root pruning can be a very efficient way to, especially when I'm doing work in corporate businesses that have plants, and yes, they don't have any room for it to get bigger.
Right.
So,
or anyone who doesn't want it to get bigger.
Right.
Yes.
And so you do some root pruning so you can keep it a manageable size, and that, you know, and make it still look good in its container.
Yes. Yes. A favorite pot that you don't want to get rid of, so you can keep reusing it. Julie, anything else about houseplants that you can think of?
I do. I have a couple of things. I'm just waiting to get my turn here. The first one is, we haven't really talked about indoor houseplant pests, and that can be a bit of an issue, right?
Mm, yes.
What do we
fungus
do?
Fungus gnats.
Yes. What do we watch for?
Ooh. Well, yes, the fungus gnats are always, especially when you don't have good drainage and you might overwater because you're going out of town for the weekend or things like that. The fungus gnats are not detrimental usually to the plant. However, they are annoying as you're having dinner or working at your desk. So we've had very good luck with an organic Bacillus thuringiensis. You can put it into the plant and that will, because you have to, they're so minuscule, they are, you can't really spray them. So getting in their lives are in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to get something in there that will kill their eggs.
And I usually recommend kind of a three-prong approach. So we've got sticky traps mm-hmm. in the shop that mm-hmm. you can use.
Yeah.
A neem oil spray can help. And then, like you're talking about, some sort of, you know, like mosquito bits or something in the soil that can, in really drastic cases, you might need to repot. But I'd say just let your soil go as dry as possible between waterings.
Mm-hmm. That's the key.
Yeah. And then there's other pests, too, that are detrimental to the plants, like mealy bugs.
Aphids.
Yep.
About those little red spiders.
Yeah. Spider mites. And they're hard to see, too.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And they will spread to your other plants, and they focus on plants that are stressed. So if you've got a plant that's struggling anyway, that's a likely candidate for a pest infestation.
Okay. Well, it sounds like the best practice would be to let the soil dry and keep your eyes open.
Yeah. And then for certain things, if you notice a pest like a mealybug, definitely isolate that plant. Keep it away from your other plants, and then try to get some specific help figuring out how to deal with that.
Okay, well, good. Good advice. Now, the second question that I've got for you all is about types of plants that we can have in the winter. We've been talking about lovely flowers that are going to keep us excited and waiting for spring, and then the green ones that make us all feel so happy to have something green around. But all summer, spring and summer and fall, Julie, we talk about making food in the garden. I'm just wondering, are there things that we can grow and eat in the wintertime? What might you recommend?
I think you were talking about with basil mm-hmm. is one of the fun ones because, now we're cooking with the holidays and things like that. We've had really good luck with bringing in some edible thyme, bringing in some cuttings or bringing in the plant. Rosemary likes to have it cooler. So if you have a cool room, mm-hmm. You can make yourself a small edible garden, a little round with some creeping thyme, some edible sage is easier, very easy. Just some sun and then some rosemary and even some parsley.
Mm-hmm. All the herbs.
Yes, and yes. It might be so fragrant.
Pepper plants, too. You see those with the, sometimes you'll see them at the stores. I don't know if that's just a quick turnaround. You don't really get the plant to last very long.
It would be difficult to have peppers inside and continually producing unless you have some good setup with lights.
Right.
Thanks.
You have to have lights. Because they quit growing in the winter. They just aren't growing. They are dormant. And you can't start anything in the winter, really. It won't grow.
Let's not forget about some fruit trees we can grow indoors.
Oh.
Like some lemons, maybe, or some little lime trees that mm-hmm. if you've got a beautiful, sunny, mm-hmm. southern-facing window, maybe you could try your hand at indoor orchards.
That's a great idea. I have a nephew in Minnesota who had a tangerine plant from a seed and something else. And I think it was actually two tangerines because it was Tang 1 and Tang 2. And they took forever, but they got in a new house, he and his wife, that was sunnier. And suddenly they got tangerines off those guys.
Oh, my gosh. That's fabulous.
Really fun for them.
I have a friend who puts her lemon tree in the garage. Oh. That's hooked onto the house, so it won't freeze hard in there, and keeps it all winter, and then puts it back out on the deck in the summer. So, it's definitely doable, but it's not in light in the garage. It amazes me she keeps it alive. But when you have a green thumb, you just have a green thumb. That's just all there is to it.
And plants want to survive.
Sure,
in spite of our best efforts to kill them, they try their hardest to stay alive.
How do you all feel about a fig tree inside? I think some of them come in, right? Go out and come in here in Sandpoint.
Yeah, we've had success outside. I've never done the fig inside. We have the hardy Chicago figs. You can plant outside. However, yeah, I've never tried the fig inside.
No. Yeah, no, I just do the ornamental, the ficus weeping figs and fiddly figs. But I have some ficus triangularis in the shop, and it got these tiny little balls few months ago, and I thought, what are these? What a strange way to get new leaves. Well, they were tiny little figs. And so my research revealed I should pick them off because they weren't contributing anything to the plant's growth. But it was pretty cute, these tiny little variegated figs on this plant.
What plant was that?
It's called a Ficus triangularis. Mm. It sort of grows like an espalier apple tree, kind of horizontal instead of vertical.
Right,
And it's got these beautiful heart shape, green and white leaves. It's very cute.
Have you ever bonsaied? Have you ever experimented with that?
It is fun, yes. It is an art for sure. And that's, you know, you become very good at the whole root pruning, because that is the whole thing. You just have to do a lot of root pruning because they have a very small container, and it is amazing. If you're going to try to do a bonsai, getting a very small, junipers are pretty easy. You can do ficus, however, those are a little more finicky. Some of the evergreens, jades, you can do, succulents like that are sturdy. And, it's a lovely art.
I just do it with my jade tree, just messing around with making it look the way I want it to look, taking branches out of the middle. And it's fun to trim those up and get them looking really neat. And then you get to see how it sprouts from there. We're back at Garden Life on KRFY. My name is Julie Puchinski, and I'm here with Julie Calamine. And also in the studio this morning are Nancy Hastings with All Seasons Garden and Floral and Aaron Johnson with Verdant Plant Shop. We have been talking about houseplants exclusively during the first part. Now we got to move on to the holiday plants.
Exciting.
Exciting. Yay. Just because Nancy brought in an amaryllis for us. Nate, let's start with amaryllis. What do you think about amaryllis?
Well, they're so easy, Julie. The new varieties the new presentation that they've been doing a lot is this wax form, where they'll take the bulb, standard amaryllis bulb that we used to just put into our favorite pot and let it grow in the soil. They've perfected this technique where they take the bulb and they wax it, so the enough moisture stays in there, and you can put it on your desk at work. You can give it to your friend who is just a real novice, and it will bloom for them without any water at all. And it's gorgeous. And they're just, nothing says Christmas more than having a beautiful big red amaryllis in front of your desk as you're getting through work, or, you know, on your kitchen table.
Yes.
It's just fun.
Yes. It's so fun in the dark of winter to have that big bloom.
And during the song break, we were all kind of looking at this crazy wax amaryllis that Nancy has brought us. And I'm saying Aaron thinks she's seen it grow a little in the 15 minutes we've been here, or 25. It's possible. I kind of think it's looking at me.
So will it stay upright, or do you have to stake it somehow in this?
It usually stays upright. Okay. What I've found is that turning it periodically, because all plants will, as you're growing them, will lean towards the light.
Sure.
So it's good to kind of just rotate them quarter turns every now and then, because then they'll stay upright.
Right.
Sometimes when I've done them in soil, like especially I love paper whites. Those are fun because they're so fragrant in your living areas. And sometimes those are less of a sturdy stem. Sometimes I'll use fun, go out and cut some red twig dogwood, or get some pretty glittery ting-ting, and then you can wrap.
Stake it up.
Yeah, wrap those more fragile bulbs like paper whites, their stems, and that way that kind of keeps them upright. And
Will I keep this bulb?
Yes.
Or we keep this bulb?
Yeah.
Yes.
We've had good luck. People have even 3 years.
What?
Gone forward. Yep.
That is crazy. Wow. That's fabulous. So you mentioned daffodils or the whites, paper whites.
Yes.
I did want to mention before we get off poinsettias that be careful when you buy a store in a box, because sometimes those poinsettias, those amaryllis have started blooming or have started growing in the box, and they can be corkscrewed inside there, and they're all yellow. You know, if you buy it from a box store or something, it can be very disappointing to pull out a yellowed, corkscrewed, 8-inch, terrible-looking amaryllis that'll never recover. So just a reminder there. But paper whites come in those boxes too. Do you buy the winterized paper whites, or do you chill them and then bring them out?
So the true paper whites that are incredibly fragrant are in the same family as daffodils,
okay,
which is a narcissus. And,
sure.
But they're not hardy outside. And those particular really fragrant ones are, they do not need any chilling. So the ones that we have in stock right now are the easy, just enjoy them
for forcing
inside, enjoying for the inside. But they're generally not, they're not to be planted outside. And then you can, if you want to keep them around, you can dry them out and replant them next fall inside again. And then you can have another year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. We're saving these plants and reusing them and propagating them and sharing them. Okay, poinsettias. Let's talk a little bit about them. Do you have poinsettias at your shop, Nancy?
We do, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, the poinsettias are gorgeous, and there's so many new varieties.
Wow.
There's hundreds of new colors they're coming out with. It's fun. Some people love the real traditionals. Others have gotten into the very beautiful crystal white.
Pink. We've got pink in the shop. They're
Aaron's
so pretty.
Yes, okay.
Just so delicate and frilly and pink. Yeah, real showstoppers.
How do we take care of them?
Yeah. Well, poinsettia is one that you don't want to let go dry completely. But again, don't overwater. But when the top of the soil feels dry, go ahead and give it a drink. A lot of people keep them just as annuals, let them bloom and then toss them. But they can rebloom. They're a little bit labor intensive to get to rebloom, but they have lovely green leaves and could just live as a houseplant.
Mm-hmm. You see them in the summer at houseplants, but Nancy, we were talking about poinsettias a little earlier. Kind of tough to get them to get that vibrant color again.
Right. Yeah. It takes a lot of fertilizer and then a proper amount of sun. And most of our growers will be, you know, these are the growers we use for the petunias and things in the spring. And then they start about 4th of July, they'll start their whole poinsettia crop. And so that's the intense sun that they get.
Okay.
Middle of July and mm-hmm. August and September. And so then they're ready by October, November to ship. And so, yes, it does take a lot of sun and fertilizer to get
them.
Because
they are tropical. Mm-hmm. They're tropical plants.
Down in Mexico. Mm-hmm.
And it's not actually what you're seeing, the red or the white or the pink. Those are actually colored leaves called bracts, B-R-A-C-T-S. So it's not actually a flower. The little yellow dots in the middle, that's the flower.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
fun fact. Science.
It's always a science experiment. And Christmas cactus. Let's talk a little bit about Christmas cactus. We were talking earlier about how long-lived they were. And what about colors?
There's, that bright fuchsia pinks, a little deeper reds, and then some really lovely soft white to almost blush pink.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just... They're fun to have, just very cheerful, and they're very easy, probably much more easy than some of the poinsettias.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, very long lived. The Christmas cactus,
and tons of blooms. When one starts blooming, it just is covered in flowers.
How do you get those tons of blooms on there? What's your secret to bringing up an older Christmas cactus?
Good sunlight.
Good sunlight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also then just I start fertilizing a little more often, starting with a higher bloom. And in any fertilizer, you're going to have usually they have three numbers on them. You have your first number, which is nitrogen, and the second number is phosphorus, which feeds the blooms, and then the third number is potassium. And so when you're trying to get an older, you know, a Christmas cactus that you've had for many years, trying to get it back into bloom in November to Christmas, I would start about September, getting it in a little more sunshine, like Aaron was saying, but also just changing up your fertilizer. It's sort of like, you know, going from milk to water. You know, you're changing up your diet, their diet for the plants. And the higher, the number you want is a higher middle number, the phosphorus. Like
for bloom.
Right. And then doing it maybe once a week.
Oh, it's that early, September. Yeah. Okay, because they're forming the buds then.
Yes, well, I've got two Christmas cacti that I want to ask you a question about then. One is that mine is getting going now. It's got a few blooms blooming, but it has a million ready to go. And I was, during the song break, I was asking Nancy and Aaron, will I be finished by Christmas? Have I gotten it going too early? And I'm wondering that maybe I have. And what did you recommend, Nancy?
Well, there are several different kinds of blooming cactus. There's actually a Thanksgiving cactus, a Christmas cactus, and an Easter cactus in the species. So, and it's very difficult. It's just the serration of the leaves. The average person it's difficult to identify that. Some of the ones that are being sold now might actually be Thanksgiving cactus because there are
blooming.
Keeping those blooms going, just keep feeding it. Not overwatering it, keeping it in a cooler place. If you want to extend those blooms, getting it out of the hot sun. If you have a sunny location,
it's sunny south right now. Now another question about it. Last year, I found that some of the little buds dropped. Was that? Do you think that was a fertilizer problem? I didn't get every bloom to open.
It could be, or it could be excessive heat or excessive cold. It's just depends upon where you're putting it.
I'll monitor and get back to you. Very good. Thank you. That might help.
How about florals? Nancy, let's talk a little bit about florals. I know you have cut flowers out at your shop. What should someone do once they bring home a bouquet?
We generally use a lot of, it's special called Floral Life. It's a special fertilizer, if you will, but you can't see it in the water. They're very inexpensive to get. You can get little 25-cent packages. And what I like to encourage people to do is when you take home a vase, you really want to, every third day or every other day, just dump out the water that is in the vase and get some fresh water in there. Even if you don't have the Floral Life packages, just using fresh water. And if you have a handy pruner or sharp scissors, cut those ends just a little bit, just an eighth of an inch. When you have fresh cuts, it's just like getting a fresh drink of water for them. Then it just feeds them and keeps those blooms going. Right now, the table centerpieces are very popular with candles and lovely things and cones and ornaments in there. And sometimes it's very hard to remember to water those. But if you just take a cup of water, bring it over by your sink so that most of the table centerpieces have a less of a
reservoir.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. They have a smaller reservoir. So it's good to bring it over toward where you don't have to worry about the water getting too much. There's usually a foam underneath there for the table centerpiece. And so what you want to do is take a cup of water, fresh water, and just pour it over an evergreen area. Usually when we're making our centerpieces, there's pines, there's fir, and there's cedar, and then other things. So find a spot where they're not pouring the water on a flower. But you can easily pour it over the evergreens, and then
would you mist it? Would misting help, or that's not
something? No. A lot of times what we do when we're building our floral arrangements with the natural elements of cedar and and pine. We will use a leaf shine, a desiccant, an anti-desiccant, to trap that. And it actually is almost like a waxy coating that will make it look really shiny, lovely, but it also keeps that moisture into the evergreens. We do that on our wreaths, on our swags, things like that to be able to keep them. Usually the evergreens will last way through New Year's.
Okay, let's go to evergreens. I know you have evergreens out at the shop as well. Mm-hmm. You make wreaths?
We do wreaths and swags. And then we do a lot of fun, even outdoor containers with birch and dogwood. Mm-hmm. We love to use the natural elements that we have. You know, a lot of times I'll come back from a hike or my family always thinks I'm too slow hiking because I'm always picking up little pieces of birch or things
I'm a driftwood hoarder myself. Yeah. And no walk along the shore is complete without pocket loads of driftwood.
Or rocks. Rocks are fun to bring home too, but don't tell anyone. So evergreens, do you spray your evergreens with that same?
Correct, yes.
So your wreaths are also sprayed to brighten them up?
It just keeps that, seals that moisture, that the natural moisture that is in them from when they're cut. And the sooner you can spray them, it'll seal that in. And you can bring them outside and they don't dry out as fast.
Yes, the sooner you can spray them once you've cut them then. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. What's that? Oh, we're running out of time. Let's go real quick. Green gifts that we can give from your garden.
Yes,
shop.
And Erin, we haven't heard much from you in the last few minutes. What's going on at your shop in terms of gifts?
Oh man, I have so much good stuff. all plant related, of course, but sometimes it can be intimidating to buy a plant for someone if you don't know what they already have or how competent they'll be caring for a plant. But we've got watering cans, we have propagation stands, we've got books about houseplants that make a great gift. We've got trellises and cheeky little plant stakes, macrame plant hangers, all sorts of things. Terrarium kits, that's a new fun one. And of course, always gift certificates. Are always good. And then we've got a couple events coming up that I just wanted to quickly mention. We're going to make some macrame plant hangers on Wednesday this week. That's tomorrow. 5:30 at the shop. You can check the website, www.verdantplants.com, for information about that. And then Friday is ladies' night shopping downtown, and we'll be staying open very late for that. Lots of fun things happening downtown.
Well, and tell us again, how can people get in touch with you? Do you have a website?
Yeah, the website is a great way, www.verdantplants.com. And I'm also on social media, Facebook and Instagram. Lots of great ways to find out what's happening at the plant shop.
And you're upstairs in the Cedar Street Bridge.
That's correct, upstairs.
The Cedar Street Bridge is so worth going in there and seeing all those Christmas decorations. It's wonderful.
It's stunning in
it
there.
It is.
Just lights, a new bistro just opened. We have a wine bar there now, so lots to see and do.
That was my favorite bar when I first moved to town. I love that bar.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And Nancy, what have you got going on?
Well, we're going to do, speaking of evergreens, we're going to do a Saturday Got Swag, Give Swag. And so we'll be doing a workshop from 1 to 3 on Saturday at All Seasons Garden and Floral out on Highway 200. And you can check out our Facebook page. We'll have it on our Facebook page. So Saturday from 1 to 3, and we'll help you make some swags for your friends or for your own door and get things going and get in the holiday spirit. And it's always just wonderful. The smells when you start cutting the evergreens, it's just finally puts you in the mood. And so it's great. And as far as garden gifts, there's, you know, nothing better than a really good pruners. We've got some excellent pruners when we're working over these last 25 28 years, we've learned that, you know, you have to protect your hands. And we have some really wonderful pruners, especially for women with small hands. You know, we don't want those, you know, if you're going to be out in the garden or doing pruning for 6-8 hours, you have to have a excellent pruner. And that's what we have got lots of garden gifts, things for kneelers and aprons,
gloves.
Yep. You got to have those good pairs of gloves. And so come on out. We'd love to see y'all. And we're open 6 days a week. We're only closed on Sundays. So, and just, and we have our website if you're looking to send flowers over all around the country, even overseas. It's allseasonsgardenandfloral.com.
Gardenandfloral.com.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Nancy Hastings, allseasonsgardenandfloral.com, and Aaron Johnson from the Verdant Plant.